Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Pastor Jermon Johnson, and as always, I am excited to be with you all on this evening, and I am excited about what the Lord is about to do tonight. We're going to continue to look at how we can live life without these limits, life not meaning, you know, disobeying laws or anything, but looking at how we could live beyond the restraints and the things that hold us down and keep us from reaching the potential and being spiritually and physically the very best that God has created us to be. And so on this evening, it's going to be no different than the other. We're going to continue to look at that and explore that idea and the different tools that God has given us in his instruction manual, which is the Bible, on how we can live life without limits. The last time I was with you all, we talked about one of the Beatitudes. To hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. And so today I'm excited because we're going to continue this series. I'm embarking in this journey with my church currently of preaching about the Beatitudes and helping the church understand how important the Beatitudes are for us. And so before we get started this evening, right where you are, as long as you're not driving, but right where you are, we just want to pause for a moment of prayer to ask God to come in and to ask him to not allow any distractions to keep us from spreading the word and hearing the word on this evening. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you have done in our lives. We thank you, God, that even though this through this pandemic, we recognize that you are still faithful and that you are still moving in our lives. I'm asking right now, God, that you will do the same that you've done before, God, and that is to speak now, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first text, I have two passages that I want to call your attention to. The first will be Matthew 5 and verse 8, which will serve as the basis of our study for this evening. Matthew 5, verse 8, and it says, Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, will see God. As before, we talked about this word, bless, and we talked about what the Beatitudes are, that the Beatitudes were eight blessings or eight lessons that God teaches the disciples there on the Sermon on the Mount. We recognize that the word beatitude comes from the Latin word beatus, which means blessed, happy, or fortunate. These words are statements spoken by Jesus is a how-to or a compass on how to truly live and be a Christian. On the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is preaching about the Beatitudes, he's not just preaching to them about the blessings we discovered, but Jesus is also giving to them and teaching to them firsthand what a real Christian looks like. What Jesus is doing here on the Sermon on the Mount by preaching the Beatitudes is Jesus is teaching the disciples on what it means to truly be Christ's followers. We know that a Christian is Christ-like. That means you are a follower of Christ. And so, in essence, we can safely assume from the text that what Jesus is doing here on the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus is teaching them how to reflect his image. Jesus is teaching them not just how to reflect their image, but Jesus is teaching them and showing them how important it is that in every days of their life, they have to live out the Beatitudes. You see, the first four of the Beatitudes deal more so with a outwardly interaction with men. So in other words, the four Beatitudes deal with how you are as a person towards other people and things. And then when you get to the next four out of the eight, those are dealing with the internal workings of man and what makes you truly who you are. You see, unlike us, God is not focused on the outer appearance, is what we are seeing in the Beatitude, but what God is, what Jesus is focused on here in the Beatitudes is the inner workings of a man and a woman. Now, after we passed all of these texts in the Bible, all of the Beatitudes, and we read through all the Beatitudes, starting with verse 3 that says, "Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And Jesus keeps going on by saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And then he goes on to one of my favorites, and he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Then he goes on, "Blessed are those that are merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And we find ourselves here in verse 8 in our text for today, and it says, "Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they will see God." That text right there, as we move over to another passage of scripture that would also help with the basis of our message this morning and this evening, sorry, and that is 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we are all familiar with this, but we're going to pick this up here. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 7. And it says, "But the Lord says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart." Pay attention to that. And if you are writing stuff down, write that down or highlight that in your Bible. But the Lord looks at the heart. This is very important to understand, because this will give us a deeper understanding of what Matthew 5:8 is speaking of. The heart is used in the scriptures as the most comprehensive term for the human person. It's a part of our being where our desires, our decisions are made. It's where everything is found at in the human body. When you ask a doctor what the heart is, a doctor will tell you that the heart is the size of a fist, if not a little bit bigger, and it sits slightly in the middle of your chest cavity. The job of the heart is to pump blood and oxygen throughout the body. It is the heart that keeps the body functioning. It's the responsibility of the heart to keep you living and breathing. It is in the heart where life is found. It's in the heart where a true person becomes who she or he wants to be. It's in the heart where decisions are made. It's in the heart where you choose to love somebody or hate somebody. It's in the heart where decisions are made to murder or not murder. It's in the heart. And Jesus is talking to the disciples about the heart, because Jesus wants us to understand how important the heart is, not only to the physical body, but Jesus wants us to understand how important the heart is to the spiritual body. Notice here, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." What is Jesus talking about when he's talking to the disciples about their hearts being pure? Is he saying to the disciples that their hearts are not pure, that their focus are in the wrong things, that they are putting too much attention in certain things? I would say yes, but I will also challenge you to understand something deeper here, that Jesus is not only preaching to the disciples, but Jesus is also preaching about the political structures of their day. Jesus is preaching about a group of people called the Pharisees, who were a group of people who felt like, because they kept all of God's laws, they kept the Sabbath, they kept all of the Ten Commandments, and they did this and they didn't do that, that was their way of making it into heaven. And Jesus is sharing with the disciples here that it does not matter what you do, how hard you work, if you don't have me at the center of your heart, none of what you do matters at all. Jesus is preaching to the disciples because Jesus wants the disciples understand that if their hearts are clogged and if their hearts are filled with other things, then there's no way that they could be able to live out their lives as a true Christian, because in order to be a Christian, Jesus is saying your heart has to be pure. I remember watching a segment on the TV where a doctor, not a doctor, but it was about some medication, and I remember or I remember watching these commercials, and I hate these commercials to death, because these commercials, they show the medicine and they say, well, take this medicine if you have high blood pressure and it'll help with your high blood pressure. But then they'll give you all of this long list of things that if you take this medicine, it could cause these problems. But notice that it always says, and I was watching this commercial, and it says, well, take this medicine, it can lower your high blood pressure. But it says, if you have a heart defect, then you may not want to take this medicine for that, you know, this medicine will kill you. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm kind of shocked, Brother Robert, as to why they're putting emphasis on a heart defect, why they're not talking about kidney failure, why they're not talking about issues with the brain, why they're not talking about issues with the liver and all of these different things. And I come to discover that it's in the heart where your life is. And without the heart, you are nothing. You cannot live nor survive without the heart. This is why in the Bible, in Ephesians, Jesus tells us to put on the whole armor. And he tells us to put on the breastplate, because Jesus is telling us how important it is to protect not only the most vital organ in our body, but to protect the avenue that has more access to things that can influence us. Jesus is preaching to the disciples here, and he's saying to them on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, or in other words, happy are those that are pure in heart. In essence, what Jesus is saying is that your happiness is not found in anything else. Your happiness is not found in what the world can do for you. Your happiness is not found in what that man or that woman can do for you. But your happiness is found in the one who gives you life. It's found only in and through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is preaching to the disciples because Jesus understands that his time is coming near, that his time is coming to a close. And Jesus is leaving the disciples with examples and instruction tools that will help them navigate this Christian journey, because Jesus himself understands that their road ahead of them will be difficult. But in order for them to reach people in the world and in their community, they have to have the Beatitudes. Jesus is here preaching to the disciples, and they're sitting there listening, and Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they, listen to the text, for they will see God. Jesus says, blessed or happy are those who are pure in heart. When you go to 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel is given a message from God. And the message that you find there in 1 Samuel is that in verse 1, it says, listen to this. The Lord says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him king over Israel? He tells him then to fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. And listen to verse 2. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice for the Lord. Invite Jesse now to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you will do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So in essence, what's happening here in 1 Samuel, Pastor Toy, is that God is sending Samuel on a mission to find and anoint the new king. The reason that Samuel is on this mission is because Saul, who is present king, has lost his way. Saul has forgotten who God is. He has forgotten that it was God who has placed him on that throne. And he has gotten very egotistic and very narcissistic. It has become all about him. He has become cruel to God's people. He has forgotten that God has set him on the throne, and God can be the one who can take him off. And God said to Samuel, it's time to go find a new king. And the Bible says that when Samuel gets there to Jesse's house, he asks Jesse to bring all of the boys before him. And listen to what the text says. The Bible says that when he gets there, he asks him to bring all of his boys. But Jesse does not bring all of his boys, but he brings 7 of his sons. And in the verses to come, the Bible says that the first son comes in before Samuel. And when Samuel looks at the sun and Samuel sees everything about Eliab, and he looks at him and he examines him, the Bible says that when he looks at Eliab, he says to himself and determines in his mind that he must be the one, because he looks good. He's a handsome man. He probably has a nice stature about him. He's fought in wars. Everything about him, Samuel likes. But the Bible says that each one of the boys who come before God, God sees, looks at them, and God says no to every last one of them. And notice what the Bible says that God says to Samuel here. He says to Samuel, you look on the outer appearance, meaning you're focused on how people look and how people dress and how people talk, but I am a God who only focuses on the heart, because the outer does not matter. God is teaching Samuel a lesson that true Christianity is not found based on what you do, but is based on the inner workings of a man or a woman, how you live your life, what you do on a daily basis, what you do when nobody is watching is what makes you who you are. And Jesus is preaching to the disciples, and he's telling them that I don't even care about what's on the outer. I want to know what's on the inner. I want to know if your heart is pure. I want to know if you have the right attention, if you're thirsting and hungry after me, if you're humble, if you're all of these things that Jesus is listing in the Beatitudes. But Jesus is saying to them, blessed are they who are pure in heart. Jesus is saying that the outer workings of a man or a woman does not make you who you are in my eyesight. What makes you who you are is who you are in the inside. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus understands that if he can get to the heart, then he can fully make a difference within a man. God understands that it's the heart that matters. Notice with David, David is forgotten in the field. It's in the field where people have forgotten who David was. His own father, his own brother has forgotten who he was. He's in the field to the sheep. It's in the field where David is every day faithful to the work that he has committed himself to. He's taking care of the sheep. He's doing everything that's asked of him. But check this out. It's in the field where David learned who God was. It's in the field where David develops that relationship and that connection with God. It's in the field where David understands who God is. It's in the field where David learns to be faithful and learns to trust in Jesus. It's in the field where David learns all of this. And the Bible says that Samuel goes through all of the boys, and God tells him no to each and every last one of them. And God whispers in Samuel's ear and tells him that there must be another boy. And when Samuel asks the question, imagine the shock on the father's face. Imagine the shock on the brother's face. Why are you asking if there is another boy? He's not worthy for what to be king. He's not worthy to be anointed or even be in the presence of the prophet. Who do you think this man is? And Samuel tells Jesse to go and grab the little boy from the field and to bring him into the house. And the Bible says that when David walks in, a commentary writer by the name of Ellen White says that God whispers in Samuel's ear and says to him at that very moment, Samuel, he's the one. But notice that God doesn't say that he's the one because he's like his brothers. Notice that Jesus is not saying, or God is not saying that he's the one because he looks good, he smells good. It doesn't say that God says he is the one because he has the greatest of the great looks. He's not the most built. He's the youngest of all the boys. He's a sheep. He tends to the sheep. He's always in the field doing work. Why is this little boy even in the presence of the prophet? And why is God saying that he is the one to be king? You see, it's here with David, his brothers, and his father learns a valuable lesson that will change the course of David's life. And the lesson that you learn here, Pastor Toy, is that it does not matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you work towards. It doesn't matter what you do. You can keep all of the Ten Commandments. You can try your best to give back. But at the end of the day, if Christ is not the center of your heart, all of your work is in vain. And Jesus, when God looks at David, God does not look at what he can do. God sees his heart, and he sees something that's so pure. He sees a heart that's thirsty for him. He sees a heart continually searching for the things of him. What God is looking for are people who want their hearts purified. God is not interested in people who want to fill their hearts with things of the world. Jesus is saying to the disciples, blessed, happy are those who are pure in heart, that your true happiness is not found anywhere else. Your happiness is found right here in a relationship with me. If I can make it more plain, what Jesus is saying here, or what the writers of the text is saying here, is that for many of us, we go after things that look good on the surface, but they do us harm internally. Oh, let me say that again. We chase after things that on the appearance looks good, but we haven't checked the insides of a person. And what we do is we find that woman who looks good. We find that man who looks good, who we think has it all together, and we give our lives and our all to them, only to discover that the insides are rotten and we've been bamboozled by what we see on the outside. What Jesus is saying is that I'm searching for people. I'm in need of people who are not concerned with how things look on the outer, but I'm concerned with people. But I want people who are concerned with how their hearts are. Jesus is saying, if I can make this plain, that your heart is no longer thirsty for what the world or what the enemy has for you, but you are not thirsty for what the kingdom has for you, what God has for you. Is your heart purified today? And Jesus is preaching to the disciples, and he makes them a promise. When I teach my church, sometimes I tell them this story. And Pastor Toy, I say to them, imagine a race. And in this race, the guy who officiates the race, he tells the forerunners when they make it to the starting line that they don't have to run the race because somebody has already come before them and run the race, and he has collected the prize. And he says to them, it's your decision. You can run this race if you would like to. Again, somebody has run the race before you, and they have won the prize. And the story continues by saying they take off, and the first runner, as he's running the race, he looks in the crowd, and he sees his homeboys in the crowd. He sees people that he know, and he decides that, well, hey, somebody has already ran this race. They won the cash prize. What's the point of me running it? And he deviates from the plan, and he goes and sits in the crowd with his crew. The second runner, she's very ambitious. She's focused on the goal. She's focused on the task ahead of her, but she has one issue, that while she's running, she's encountering hurdles, and she's not a hurdle jumper. And so because she's encountering the hurdles, she's knocked down one too many times, and she decides to give up. The third runner, as she's running the race, she jumps the hurdles. She ignores the crowd, but yet she finds herself in a position to where halfway through the race, she's saying to herself, what's the point? Everybody else has given up. The prize has been won. What's the point of running this race? And she goes and turns back to head for the starting line. But the last runner, he runs the race, he jumps the hurdles, and he keeps running as if there's a prize to be won. When he gets to the end of the race, the guy comes up to him and said, congratulations, sir. I got good news for you. Remember, I told you that somebody has run this race before you. They've already run the prize. I got good news for you. Because you remain focused, because you remain faithful, because you did what was expected of you, even though, listen to this, you didn't have to run, but you did it anyway. the guy who ran the race before you is willing to share the prize with you. And I say that to my church to illustrate this, that this is the same thing that Jesus promises the disciples, and he promises you and I in the text. He says that if your heart is pure, happy are those who are pure in heart. For they, listen to the text, happy are those, in essence, happy are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. The promise for us is that if we do the necessary surgery and allow God to do the surgery on our hearts, to unclog our arteries, to get the right things flowing again, to get the things that we need in and to take out the things that are meant to be, when we allow God to perform open heart surgery on us, are the moments that we will find our lives being complete, when we will find those holes being filled. But Jesus' promise for us is to see him. And it's not a sense of, oh, you're going to see me face to face here on earth. What Jesus promised is that if you allow me to perform the heart surgery on you and you begin to this process of being pure in heart, then the promise that I set before you is that you will see me again. Jesus is promising to come back and to take his children with him again. But Jesus is saying to you and I, blessed are those who are pure in heart. He are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Moses was was given by his mother, placed in this basket, and, he flowed down the river. It was there that he was found by someone in Pharaoh's family. And it's here where Moses' life changes forever. Moses should have died here. But his life is saved and his life is changed forever. He grows up in wealth. He grows up having of life that life can offer in those days. He's having been taught the very best in the educational systems, but Moses has this sense about him that he may, that there's some emptiness to him. And one day while Moses is out, he witnesses the brutal beating of a slave. And when he notices this, Moses begins to feel a sense of hurt and pain within his heart. Moses has witnessed the brutal beating of a man, but Moses senses that there's something about this man that directly connects them together. It's in the heart where Moses makes a decision that changes the course of Moses' life forever. Moses decides to kill a man. And after he kills the man, Moses is fleeing for his life. And as Moses is fleeing for his life, Pastor Toy, he finds himself in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he finds himself at the well. And it's here at the well where Moses saves the life of Jethro's daughters. And it's here at the well where he meets the woman who will be his wife, Zipporah. It's here at the well that he meets his wife and he's introduced to her father, and Moses decides to stay there. And we know how the story goes. They end up married and things are going well. Well, years go by and Moses is on a journey. He's traveling for whatever reason. And the Bible says that while he's on this journey, he hears a voice, or he sees a fire from a bush in the mountain. And the Bible says there in Exodus that he determines in his mind that he has to check this out and sees why this bush is appearing to be on fire, because the text says there in Exodus that the bush appears to be on fire, but the bush is not being consumed by the fire. And the Bible says that he hears his voice, and as he makes his way up the mountain, he hears God calls him by name. And it's there where God begins to speak to Moses, and God begins not only to change Moses' life, but God changed his heart. It's there where the Bible says, listen to this, that Moses saw God, face to face. It was there that Moses was in the presence of God. And the Bible says that God says to him that there was nobody else in the land who was able, that God was able to say was good enough in their hearts to be able to witness what Moses witnessed. Listen to what I'm saying. God says that Moses' heart was so pure, that Moses' heart was in the right place, that Moses had done everything possible to take the things out of his life that didn't need to be and to put in what needed to be. And all that was missing from Moses' life all of these years was that he was missing God in his life. And it's here where God begins to fill up the hole in Moses' heart. It's here where Moses now has a purpose. Even though Moses has a child and has a beautiful wife and has a beautiful life, it's here where his heart is filled, because what God is interested in is making sure you and I have great hearts, because he understands that if the heart is well, then physically and spiritually you will be well. The saying is true that you are what you eat. What you put in you has every bit to do with making you who you are. And Jesus is preaching to the disciples about this matter of the heart. And Jesus is saying something that's ever important to you and I. We must rid ourselves of the things that's clogging the arteries of our heart, that we have to push out those things that's keeping us from having a direct connection with him. We have to push out those things that's keeping God from entering into our hearts. And let's picture it this way. You have a house, and when you expect guests, you always clean up expecting, you know, your guests. You do that because you don't want them to be honest, you don't want them to come in to mess. You want to impress. But what happens if you leave your house a mess and people come in, right? What if you're like those people on Hoarders? What if we can't even come into your house because you have stuff packed from floor to ceiling, from wall to wall? What God is saying, that he wants to enter into you and I. He wants to come into our hearts, the door knocking, but he's waiting on you to get to the place where you are tired of your life being the way it is. You're tired of living the way that you've been living, and he wants you to open up the door so that he can come into your hearts, so that he can come into your life, and he can rid you of those things that's been holding you down, those addictions that's been holding you down, those things that's been causing you to stay in this condition or this state for so long. God is saying to you and I today that true happiness is found when your hearts are pure. You will not be happy in your marriage. You won't be happy in your career. You won't be happy with your bank account at $1 million or even at $5 until you allow him and accept him into your heart. And trust me, I understand that it's hard to do. But the text says in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And the text says that I, the Lord, searcheth the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. He's saying that he's searching your heart every day, and he's looking at your heart. God is interested in the heart. Another text says that in Jeremiah 29, in verse 13, that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It takes your heart. You got to come searching for God. He says in Psalms 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. In other words, what he's saying in this text, God, not only purify my heart, but I need you to create a spirit of steadfastness. I need to be planted, God, in this season, that while you are purifying my heart and cleaning me out, God, I'm standing still, allowing you to do what it is that you need to do. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. The issues that many of you and I face and struggle with is that we try or we depend too much of our own understanding of what people understandings of what our lives should be. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. When you submit your life to him and you open up your heart and you allow him to come in and take control, God will change your life forever. The greatest thing that you can do is to open up your heart to accept him and to allow him to come into your hearts. I have a few more texts for you before we close out today. And the Bible says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But all of this comes when you open up that door and you allow him to come into your heart. Text says in Proverbs 17, Brother Robert, that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up to bone. Notice that all of the texts here mentioning the heart, it's not just talking about the heart being purified, but it's also saying what we have to do in order to get that purified heart. Three lessons that you learn here that if you want to purify your heart, you have to open up the door. For some of you, you have to get to that place in your life where you just cry out to him, God, create in me a clean heart. You got to ask for that steadfastness. Is three. You got to remain still sometimes in your life and in this season. In this pandemic, you got to remain still and allow God to be able to do what he needs to do in your heart, in your life. Happy are they. Blessed are they. Blessed are those that are pure in heart. They will see me. He's saying to you and I that once you have completed this task of opening your heart and letting me in, when you get to a place where you desire to live for me and no longer want to live for the world or for the enemy, when you get to a place in your life where you fully surrender and dedicate your life to God, he says that the gift and promise that I have for you is that you will see me again. He promised us eternal life. And family, I understand that it can be hard, that strongholds of the enemy can be very difficult to let go. But I want you to know that God understands. He hears, sees, and feels everything. And all you have to do, just right where you are, if you're tired, he says, those who are weary, that he will give them rest. God, or right now, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's telling them that he's the answer, and he's telling them that happiness is found when your hearts are right. Many of you are searching. You've tried everything. You tried the drugs. You tried the alcohol. You tried the pornography. You tried relationships. You tried everything. And Jesus is saying that you will not be happy or satisfied in your life until it is given to me, until you give your heart to me. And he wants you to do that today. And last text that I have before I pray. It says, that may these words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Psalms 19:14. The purpose of this is I want you to understand that if you've been searching, the answer is right by you. The answer is Jesus. That hole that you feel in your heart, that emptiness that you feel in your heart, it can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And if you want to live a life that's free, that's full, you want to live to your very, very best that God has created you to live, you have to allow him to come into your hearts. Allow him to perform that open heart surgery. There's a text, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's also a text in the Bible where it says that a man eateth something and it goes straight to the stomach and, you know, dissolves or digests, but what comes up out of the heart is what is evil or something like that. And I'm paraphrasing that. What he's constantly saying to us is that it does not matter what you do on the surface. You can have the nicest house, have all the money in the world, but if he is not the center of your heart, then you've missed the mark. Will you give your hearts to him today? Father God, we thank you that you will come into our hearts. We ask that you will perform the open heart surgery that many of us need and desire today. I'm praying that God, you will unclog the arteries, that you will take out the gook and the mess, the things that are keeping our hearts from looking good and functioning to the very best. Just like many of us who are concerned with physical stuff and how we eat, and we live in a world today, God, where everybody wants to be healthy and exercise and be vegan, but I'm praying that you would give us the same desire about our spiritual well-being, that we become spiritual vegans, where we get tired of eating and drinking from the cup of the world, but we only want to drink from the cup and eat from the plate that you have for us, God. I'm praying that that door you've been standing at, knocking at for years, will finally open it and let you in. That person that has gotten tired, struggling and tired of dealing with addictions. I'm praying that they will open up that door, Father, and that they will let you in. You said in Ezekiel 36, I believe 26, Father, that a new heart that you will give to us, a new spirit that you will put in us, and you will take away the stony heart, God, of our out of our flesh, and you will give us a heart of flesh. Praying, God, that you will perform change that we need. We thank you, God, for everything that you have done. And we look forward, God, to what you're about to do in our lives and who you're about to make us. Thank you, praise you, and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Toy, I know you're on the line. If you want to come on just for a second, I don't know if you have a few things you want to say before we are, if we have any callers or anything, but I want to give you that opportunity to come on right now. And again, as always, thank you so much. We've been missing you on this call, but thank you so much. I know that I've been, asking about you, but thank you so much for providing the opportunity again to be able to share the word with the people.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. First, bless God, and thank you, Pastor Jemaine, for the word that has gone forth this evening. I always tell everyone I love transparency, is because when we are transparent with our lives, we give people hope in their lives. And I need you to know that you answered some prayers that I was sitting on the porch praying just this afternoon. Like, that's how awesome my God is. The questions that I was asking, just this afternoon. And I hadn't spoken to anybody, y'all. And this is the funny part. But every time that y'all could almost put together the question if you go back and listen to the archive, because every time you would say, Pastor Toy, here came the answer. It was like you was bringing my attention to it. It's like he was saying, hey, you asked me this. Remember, here go your answer.
Mercy.
Here goes the encouragement you was looking for. Girl, I forgot about you. Here it go.
Wow.
Ronald tears up. It's all right. I got you. I just bless God. I thank God just for your obedience. I thank God for his faithfulness to man, to us, to those who love him. Because I ain't going to lie and tell y'all that I'm so holy, sanctified, and this, that, and the other. The only difference, look, I'm still a mess. I'm not what I was, bless and praise God, but I'm still a mess. It's still a whole lot of stuff God is working out in me.
But you know,
I'm not going to lie, because I don't want my walk to cause nobody to fall. So get me off your pedestals, because I'm not there.
But you know, Pastor Toy, I think that's the point, though. I think that's why Jesus felt the need to explain the Beatitudes to the disciples, was that they needed to understand that. Yo, like this is a journey, and you think you got everything because you've been walking with me, but every day of your lives you got to come to a place where, in order to become the very person that I created you to be, there's going to become a consistent, or there has to be, I guess, like a consistent taking off,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that God can
every
put
day
on you're
peeling off another layer of flesh.
Yeah.
Another
and
layer of you so that you can put on another layer of him.
Yeah.
And I
want
y'all, especially for the ones that's hot tempered like me, I'm going to shame the devil and tell the truth. That I'm a beautiful, loving person till you make me mad. You know how many times I cried tears because God would not let me do what I wanted to do? And then it got to the point where I was crying tears because I was blessing God that the thought to do what I used to do didn't even come to my head in the situation. So it's an everyday thing. It's a daily thing. It's a daily walk. And I'm going to tell you, every time you think you master something, that's when Satan going to pop back up and try you on it. Because remember, he tests us with the desires of our own hearts, with the stuff we like. Like, if you don't like the taste of alcohol, he ain't going to tempt you with alcohol because he know you don't like alcohol.
Yeah, he's going to come with
you
other
like
things.
Alcohol, he going to come with exactly what you like. You like men, he going to come with what you like. But, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's your fault, Pastor. You got me started.
No. But listen to this. The text says Matthew 15. And I found that it was Matthew 15 and verse 8. It said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Defile the man. So, like, he was literally saying to the disciples the same thing. Well, he's saying it to us right now, that this is why the heart is very important and why you have to protect the heart. Because we think that we go by what we think, meaning that if I think of something, I'm going to act on it. But he's saying that that's not even how it works, that it has to go in the heart first. The heart is where life is, you know. And so once you have it in your heart, you know, then that's what the issue is. And he says it's what proceeded out of the mouth that comes from the heart. So when you want to cuss people out, when they cut you off, that's coming from your heart. That means there's some stuff in your heart that need to be worked on. And he said, and they defile the man. That, like I said, we become so used to sin and so used to these things, Pastor Toy, that it kind of clogs the arteries of our heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's slow down the flow. It's you just know, like in our bodies.
Again.
You
I got to stop.
I done seen you doing it. It's like that tag team thing. That's why I love platform-type services, because we sort of feed off each other's spirit. And it's not our spirit, but we feed off of the spirit of God in each other. But you true, it's like them clogged arteries. You know, they say that if somebody's arteries get clogged, it doesn't necessarily stop the blood flow, but it slows down the blood flow, and it can get clogged so much that it can slow it down enough that it'll make your heart start skipping beats. We call them heart attacks. It's the same thing with sin and the Holy Spirit. Oh, your sin might not be stopping his flow, but it's sure enough slowing it down. And if you let it get slowed down just enough, it's going to make your spiritual heart start skipping beats, and there go your spiritual heart. I'm sorry. Come on, y'all. I came on to do the announcements. We want to thank and bless God for each and every one who are joining in with us this evening. We thank and praise God for you. We want to invite you to join in with us tomorrow evening. We will be on at 9 p.m. again tomorrow evening. We will be on at 9 p.m. with One Touch Transformation. And we have a special guest coming on tomorrow, Bishop Jackson, the father of Minister Arthenius Jackson, will be standing in for her tomorrow evening. You do not want to miss this anointed man of God. He is not a stranger here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And again, if you think you was blessed tonight, you definitely want to join us tomorrow night and get blessed in the Word of God. 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, to pray for you. And just so that you know, we do take all of the suggestions that you all send in serious. We had a suggestion to do something slightly different, and we got more than one. So we have some surprises coming to you here at Purpose Kingdom that we will be announcing to you in the next week or so. Again, we thank and praise God for each and every one of you. We invite you to join in with us tomorrow morning on Anchor FM for our morning walk in God's Word. We are still in the book of Isaiah. I'm telling you, the prophet of old is speaking an old prophecy to a right now generation. You bet. Y'all, I'm trying to tell you, want to know what's going on around us right now? Read the book of Isaiah. We thank God for each and every one of you. Again, Pastor, wonderful word this evening, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Hannah, I just want to thank, again, I want to thank Pastor Toy, but I also need to thank Brother Robert as well, who is committed and very faithful to making sure that this ministry is spreading and everything is successful. But I wanted to just end with this call of salvation. Just something. I think that this is very important. You know, the text says, Proverbs 21, that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. We have to come to a place in our lives. We recognize that, one, our lives are no longer our own. But we have to become so desperate. And this is why I do what I do, is because I want us to be so desperate in chasing and seeking after God and being in right standing with him, or in other words, righteousness, to the point that we no longer have a taste for what the enemy will present to us. Pastor Toy says something very important, is that this journey is going to be difficult. And the devil knows your struggles. He knows your shortcomings. He knows what it is that gets you weak. And what he's going to do is he's not going to come at you necessarily with that thing. He's going to come up with creative ways to come at you. His goal is to keep us from achieving something that he no longer has the ability to achieve, and that's to be in the presence of God and live with him for eternity. I want you to know that the hope that God gives us is that even if your heart is clogged, even if you are divided, that you've been giving your heart everything to anything, God wants you to know that he is faithful to his promises, that he will purify your heart. And once you allow him into your hearts, he will give you the prize, which is to see him and live with him for eternity. I encourage you all to open up your Bibles to get into the Word. I encourage you to check out the Beatitudes. I even encourage you, because they're very helpful for the Christian life. And if you want to live this life and want to learn how to live it, read the Beatitudes. But also, as Pastor Toy said, to look at the Last Day messages. But you want to make sure you get into the Word. You want to make sure you find you a Bible-believing church, a pastor who is preaching from the Word of God. And you want to make sure you do that. But I want to pray for you this evening, for that person who wants to accept Jesus into their hearts tonight. I want to give you that opportunity to do that. And so right where you are, there isn't nothing magical that you have to do. It's not a bunch of things that you have to do, but to do this, I want you to close your eyes and to pray this prayer. Father God, I submit and give my life to you. I'm asking that you will come in, that you will take control, that you will fill me up, that you will use me, God. I'm asking that, God, you will take out those things that don't belong and place in there things that are going to allow me to be the very best person and Christian that I could be. I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior. And I promise from this point forward, God, to do my very best to live my life for you. Thank you, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that, again, God will come into your hearts. He will come into your life. For a lot of us, don't get it twisted. It's not for a lot of us, we think that the change is going to be noticeable right now and then. But it's going to be a process. Stay faithful, stay committed, stay focused on the task at hand and what God has before you. Remember, as Pastor Toy said, to follow the ministry on Facebook, follow it on Instagram, like, share, share these videos or these audio messages because there's somebody who need to hear Jesus. And I thank you so much again, Pastor Toy and Robert, thank you so much. Look forward to being with you all again and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus lives.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.